Welcome to a MacGuffin Men minisode. This episode is brought to you by nobody, because who the hell would sponsor a minisode? And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome to MacGuffin Men minisode. I'm Alex, and with me is James.
Hi.
I guess this is our second minisode, but last week it was just me without a good mic for a minute and a half. It was more of a test, but
minisode.
Yeah, exactly. The concept of these minisodes is that we got some people that listen to us asking for basically heads up on the content that we're doing, so that if they want to watch the movie ahead of time, they can do so if it's something they haven't seen. We're gonna put these out pretty much, I think, every Friday going forward, and if anything interesting happens, or we see a good movie or whatever, that's not worth a full podcast, we'll talk about it. This week, you should check out themacguffinmen.com, because we did a podcast on Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, which was very fun for us to record. I had a good time, James.
Enjoyed myself very much.
Yeah, two movies we enjoy talking about, and I think it was a good podcast, so... I guess the Dark Knight Rises is out now when you're hearing this, but I've seen it and I hope it didn't suck. Check out our podcast on the first two movies if you couldn't get enough Batman. On Wednesday, James put out a little article about tentative titles, fake titles, working titles. And it was good. It was funny. There were some good jokes. There's John Q in there. There's some Gilmore Girls. check it out. And it's also has serious points, but... the jokes are funny. Yesterday we put out a video podcast on Inception, which I haven't finished yet, but I'm sure the final product is good.
The top's still spinning. We're not sure.
The top of judgment is still spinning on this podcast.
There's a little wobble there, but... but we don't know right by the end.
We're watching it frame by frame. As for what we've got coming up next week, on Tuesday or maybe late Monday night, depending how on our game we are, we're going to have our next podcast, which is about James.
It's about James?
No, it's not. It's about The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, there it is.
I'm very excited to do this podcast because meaning we are recording this podcast... recording this podcast means I've seen The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes. So and not only in your dreams this time.
Yeah, exactly. I've had so many dreams about it. Pardon?
You know what's sad?
What?
I'm seeing that movie like opening night.
Yeah.
And I'm still seeing it 23 hours after you're seeing it.
I know.
Because that's how hardcore you are.
I know. I'm like adequate. Like I'm trying to plan when the time to have a coffee is to be adequately prepared for Batman, but also be able to sleep tomorrow night.
You're not going to be able to sleep.
I don't know. I couldn't sleep for like an hour after The Dark Knight, but I feel like we'll be all right. Anyways, no Batman talk until Monday or Tuesday.
When there will be a lot. I want to see.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
Do you remember the, amazing Jason Bourne podcast we did?
Yeah, like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And you remember how we talked about the Bourne trilogy being one of the best, or possibly the best American film trilogy of all time?
Absolutely. Because as of today, it still is to me.
Yeah, no, but I mean...
like as of recording this, yeah.
Just a quick recap. I mean, you think of the big ones like Star Wars and, you know, The Godfather. There's always a weak link.
Someone will put in the Lord of the Rings as well in that conversation.
Ugh, that person is dumb.
I had a lot of Lord of the Rings arguments last weekend, by the way, but continue.
You talk to dumb people.
They're good friends and listeners to this podcast. So I love and respect all of my friends. So.
All right, fair enough. Mm-hmm. The very early reviews, and I know you're trying to avoid most of them for spoiler shield reasons, and yeah. I respect that. But the early reviews on this are that it's very, very good.
Sweet. Good news.
And if that is true, and like some people are saying it's as good as Dark Knight or, you know, around there, some people say better, that would make Batman Begins the weak link in this trilogy.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the weak link in the Bourne trilogy is the Bourne Identity to me, so...
yeah, but I mean, that's a really good weak link.
No, exactly. No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that was my only point. Just that, if if Batman Begins is what I have to deal with and arguing that this is a very good trilogy, I am very pleased.
Yeah, no, exactly. yeah, and I'm sure we'll revisit that on next week's podcast. Another very important point that I wanted to make is, yeah magnets, bitch.
I didn't know if you watched it.
Oh, I watched it live, man.
Oh, wow.
We have AMC, so I'm just going to watch it live. Save me so much
cable
grief.
Now, la-di-da.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... I wanted...
Oh, we're talking about Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad spoilers.
Yeah, Breaking Bad spoilers. Season 5, episode 1 spoilers?
Yeah, we got to... Now that we're doing these things, like, timely, we gotta worry about these things.
Yeah. Yes, I was hoping for a very... Jesse Pinkman epitomizing moment in that episode. Yeah. Like, I wanted one for everybody. I wanted a Walt moment. I wanted a Jesse moment. I want a, you know, Walt Jr. moment where he asks for where breakfast is. Yeah. I wanted a Skyler moment where she eats his breakfast and then her own and then someone else's. And sorry, Colin calls her Swindler now, but just leave that alone. Yeah, we got our Jesse moment, so I'm good for at least like 2 episodes.
Yeah.
You can do character development and you can have an arc with him and make him change. Now that we have like the pure concentrate of Jesse for at least a few seconds at a time, I am pleased.
Yeah, it was so good. I assume there are so many gifs of it that exist now. But, I enjoyed it. But you like the episode?
Yeah, good, not great. I mean... The season debut is always a tough one.
Yeah.
Because you need to address everything from the finale, set up everything for the season, as well as you needed that big sequence. Like, if they didn't do something like the...
Caper?
Evidence room. Yeah, caper magnet scene. People are going to be pissed and say, this is a slow season. You know, Breaking Bad's lost it, whatever. I was happy. It's tough to find that balance, and I think they did. I like Saul Goodman. I'm always a big fan, but I thought he did well.
Yeah.
And great Jesse, and the intro with Walt at Denny's.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
And, such good cold open.
Yeah, and I love... one thing I do love about Breaking Bad is when they kind of tease a lot of stuff about the future.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Yep.
Do you recognize the guy he meets in the bathroom?
No. Do you? Yeah, this is your area of expertise, but.
Well, his name's Jim Beaver and he is he's been in the show before, but he is the second former Deadwood cast member to be on Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay. Who is he in Deadwood?
Ellsworth, the guy who helps Alma Garrett with her gold claim.
Okay. I don't totally remember. It's been years since I watched Deadwood, but.
And are you still just never going to watch Deadwood? Because
I thought about trying it because like I've watched the first season 2 times and I think it's so good and stopped at the same part of the second season. And I think the mistake I made the trying to watch it through again was that I watched the first season again. You know, like I started again from scratch and I should just start where I left off. But I've been thinking about it. I'm going through Homeland right now and then it's either Deadwood or Sons of Anarchy. But we'll see.
Homeland, the one with the fake Hank.
The what?
Hank from Breaking Bad.
It's a counter-terrorist show.
Yeah, but it's got a fake Hank Schrader.
Oh, okay. I haven't recognized. It's not a very good show. I'm just watching it at this point to watch it. I don't know that I'll watch season 2, but Claire Danes' character is such a train wreck. It's amazing.
Did you hear about the Marvel titles?
Yeah.
it's a Captain America 2 title.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is, but I remember skimming over and being like, what? Okay, continue on.
I think
I'm going to see it no matter what they call it. They could call it boners, you know, and I'll still go see it.
Yeah, you'd buy 2 tickets.
One for me and one for my boner.
It's weird that it has a seat next to you. And you think you'd want a third seat for the buffer seat between the boner and whoever's sitting next to you.
Look, if someone wants to sit next to my boner, they're allowed.
That's Connecticut.
This is America. I'm not going to stop them.
You can share a seat with my boner. Put it in the cup holder. Give me $5.
Anyway, what was the title? Do you remember?
No, it was something about...
It was like winter snow or something.
Yeah, it promised more Asgard, which I feel like was everything you hated about Thor 1.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so no boners.
There's Thor 2.
Thor 2, no boners. have you seen any good movies recently? What have you seen recently? Wasn't the Savages. We talked about that.
Sorry, I thought you said good movies, not Savages.
Yeah, okay. Anything.
What did I watch
recently? Did you see Ted?
I saw Ted twice.
Yeah? Did you like it?
I did.
Because I saw it as well.
You what?
I've seen it as well, so.
Okay. Wow. It sounds like you really don't like it by the shock that you had.
I thought, like, the first half I thought was surprisingly good, and the second half was surprisingly bad.
Yeah.
But Joel McHale and Giovanni Ribisi, both so good.
Phenom.
This is art.
Quick note to our Sons of Anarchy fans, Joel McHale, Sons of Anarchy season 5.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Ted I enjoyed. And yeah, first half, very wonderful. It's Family Guy humor without the cutaway gags.
There were a couple cutaway gags.
Absolutely, but without leaning on it as hard.
Yeah, and no, exactly.
When I argue with people about Family Guy, they always say, oh, the jokes aren't connected to the plot. And that was the big criticism of when South Park did their gigantic multi-episode rip on Family Guy.
Yeah.
The whole criticism was, you know, these jokes aren't connected to the narrative. Anybody can write 30-second jokes and kind of string it together with, you know, a couple narrative sequences and set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully get that. And I appreciate it. Family Guy's best episodes are when they don't do that. Mm-hmm. And most of their really good jokes are when they don't do that. The Brian Stewie.
You
really
mean don't do cutaways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like all the Brian and Stewie stuff in their Road 2 episodes are very, very strong on character relationships and are super funny. But yeah, Ted suffered from the same things that Family Guy suffered from. Leaning on pop culture references too hard and alienating your fans with it. I mean, if you didn't get Flash Gordon jokes, you missed out on a lot of Ted jokes.
I don't get Flash Gordon, but I thought it was funny.
I don't get Flash Gordon jokes either, but I know it would be a lot funnier if I did.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think, like, the thing is, to me, that could have been any, like, the New York Jets quarterback / actor joke. Like, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's funny to me, you know? Just like that song, that Flash Gordon song that we heard so many times is just inherently funny.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like that he could have been like any sort of outdated action person. That's what I saw, you know? Could have been Turbo Man, you know?
But I think you get more if you knew it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But
I think that, with Family Guy, it's one of the most pulp culture in media heavy shows ever.
Yeah.
And Simpsons, Seinfeld, you know, two shows that are recognized as, you know, I think in general, and you can argue them if you want, but recognized as some of the best shows ever made.
Mm-hmm. I won't argue that.
Yeah, that they made their mark by doing stuff like that and by leaning on the pop culture stuff. And, you know, the 90s was when that stuff really kind of picked up. And we had all this access to different shows and different movies, and they became a really big part of our lives. And so, you know, parody and spoof became really important then. It obviously existed before that, but that became a big part of comedy for those shows, and it really worked for them. And I think Family Guy took it even further. And I think Ted is kind of hand in hand with the same level that Family Guy does that. And as funny as that is, and again, you know, it's a big part of our lives, so that comedy does work.
Mm-hmm.
You can alienate people with it if you haven't seen it. If you haven't seen this stuff and the joke is very, you know, reference centric,
yeah,
you're gonna lose a lot of people.
Yep, that's fair.
And I have a couple problems with Ted. I did like it. I mean, I saw it twice and I'd watch it again happily, but they lose it on some stuff like that. They just kind of go a little pop culture heavy. And if that isn't your particular pop culture preference, you're going to miss out on some stuff.
Okay. Fair.
And that's one of my big problems with Ted, is that it didn't work for me 100%. And it's not going to hold up, I think, at all in a lot of big ways.
Yeah. So few comedies do, though.
That's true.
But for the people that don't get the pop culture references, you get the silent Ryan Reynolds cameo. So there's that.
Yeah. No. And there
Putty was awesome, by the way. Sorry. Patrick Warburton was so good.
Oh, yeah. No. And there are parts of Ted that even the second time around, knowing the exact line at the exact moment, absolutely killed me.
Okay. Yeah. No, there were a couple really funny parts, I thought. Yeah.
And someone this is a horrible way to watch movies, but someone that I was talking to, I asked if they're going to see Ted, and they said, oh, Mark Wahlberg's in it. Of course I'm going to go see it. That is a terrible way to choose your movies.
Yeah.
But I thought he was pretty funny in this. I think he's a great fit for that kind of Family Guy comedy, especially the New England-based, let's not take ourselves too seriously comedy.
Oh, I find him, like, infinitely more believable in any comedy than I do in any dramatic role.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah.
No, very, very funny in this. Tons of great lines. And again, if you don't get the references, you're certainly going to laugh for, you know, 90% of these jokes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of just, you know, relationship basic stuff. But
yeah. The thing I thought was interesting was that it was structured entirely like a kid's movie. Like, I thought that was kind of funny. Like, it was structured like a kid's movie about a kid who loses his teddy bear and has to get it back. And I thought that was funny. But that idea was funny to me, but it, like, nothing about the execution was funny or interesting to me. And
I really didn't like it, eh?
Well, I thought it was funny, but anytime the plot got in the way, I thought it was bad.
Yeah, and the third act is always when...
The third act was brutal.
Yeah, but the third act is always when glaring problems of your whole structure come to light.
Yeah.
Like, there's a classic screenwriting tip. If you have a problem in the third act, you have a problem in the first act.
Gotcha.
And, yeah.
I mean, the
Nora Jones stuff and the relationship stuff.
I was fine with Nora Jones being in the movie just because I enjoy the idea of a Nora Jones cameo.
Okay. It's like a Macy Gray cameo in Spidey One.
Yeah. Nora Jones is better to me because I feel like Macy Gray would have been better for this movie, and Nora Jones would have been better for Spider-Man. But, anyways, and one other thing I really hated about this movie, I thought it was far too self-referential to Seth MacFarlane's own work. Like when he says
the word Family Guy in your movie,
did that happen? Because that's not what I'm referring to.
Did he say you sound too much like Peter?
Oh, yeah. That's a line I'm referring to. And isn't the band when they go to Joel McHale's party, isn't the band playing the Family Guy theme song?
Yeah.
Which I have a huge problem with. Like, it's just like, come on. Like, you can do one wink to the thing that everybody is there for, like all of your fans are there for, but you can't do two. That's absurd. You know?
What's your take on Seth MacFarlane never really being Seth MacFarlane and never being straight up? And I mean, his voice in Family Guy is Brian. Like, that is literally his voice.
Yeah.
Like, he does not change his voice to play that character, or if so, it's very minor.
Yep.
But that also seems his outlet for, you know, political and creative commentary.
Yeah.
There's certainly things Brian Griffin says that I would not see Seth MacFarlane saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he kind of plays up a joke version of himself at times.
Yeah.
But I just remember hearing that Ted was going to happen and that Seth MacFarlane was in it and directing it, but only playing a teddy bear and never really showing up on screen.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
I don't know. I don't really have a take either way. It's just sort of, that's
I
just
feel like
thing.
He has a chance to be a very visible star. And
see, I think you and I disagree on that. He doesn't have a leading, like, to put it bluntly, he doesn't have a leading man face, you know?
Really?
His face is too round and goofy looking to,
I think he's good looking enough.
Yeah, okay. I think I don't know. It has to be very much the right type of movie for him to be a leading man. Like, if, let's say Ted exists and he's the Mark Wahlberg character and the teddy bear. I don't think he gets that movie made.
Yeah, see, I feel like he does, but okay. Agree to disagree.
Yep. Anything else? Did you see Magic Mike?
No. Somehow this slipped by me.
You won't like Magic Mike.
No,
I'm only mentioning it because, well, I mean, like I enjoyed parts of it, and it's really, you would actually get a kick out of how hilarious, because Kevin Nash, aka Diesel from WWF, is in it.
Oh, you don't need to explain.
Okay, yeah, he's one of the male strippers, and it's really, because he's had knee problems from his wrestling career. It's really funny how hard they have to try to hide him in the dance sequences. And it's if you go see Magic Mike and only watch Kevin Nash and all of the group dance sequences, it's so funny. And, you know, all due respect to Kevin Nash, I know that's an injury, but, and I think they mentioned it in the movie as well, but, anyways, it's worth seeing, but it's not great. I mean, even Soderbergh seems bored at points, but,
well, that's what I was going to say. Everyone kind of says like, hey, it's a stripper movie, but it's a Soderbergh stripper movie, and you know exactly what's going to come of it.
See, that's the thing. You never know what's going to come of a Soderbergh movie. That's the whole... That's why I see all of his movies when they're in theaters, you know? Because I'm interested. And, like, Haywire wasn't great, but it had some good moments, and Magic Mike is kind of the same, and I'm absolutely starting the campaign for Matthew McConaughey as Best Supporting Actor. It's starting right now on this podcast. I tweeted about it also. It just America needs this to happen.
Well, yeah, no, people say maybe not just so much what's going to happen narratively, but it just the feeling you get from the Soderbergh movie, like the first two acts they're fun and fast and a little goofy. And then by the third act, it seems like, hey, working class, you know, themes and all this kind of stuff is important. Is that not ring any bells?
Yeah, I don't find that present in all of his movies, but it's definitely Magic Mike. For sure.
Well, we live in a wonderful time when all the guys want to see the movie with the teddy bear in it and all the girls want to see the movie.
Yeah, exactly. But that's all I've got. Oh, see Beasts of the Southern Wild. Totally worth your time. It's the indie movie of the moment. So check it out. Score is awesome. I saw Jerome with Love.
That's
also
6-second indie plug.
Yeah, well, it's
the amount of time to plug a movie.
I wrote about the independent movies I saw recently on our website last Friday, so check that out at mcguffman.com. I saw Jerome with Love as well. It was all right.
Can you give us at least like what you're like, how much of a day do you have planned around seeing Batman besides drinking coffee? You're a big sandwich in the theater guy.
Yeah, no, it's not a minute. There might be a can of Pringles involved. If only because I remember from The Dark Knight, I had Pringles and it was a good experience. So I'm trying to keep it like
that's what makes Dark Knight
level.
So good.
No, it's good. There's going to be a Pepsi in my bag for sure. And you know, just it's more of just like if I need caffeine, it's there for me. It's not necessarily like I'm definitely going to finish this, but it's going to be there. And there will be Pringles, I think. Now it's decided. But, and also, like, I have to get our video podcast up, so that's the day leading up to it. But
there will be Pringles sounds like the lamest P.T. Anderson movie we ever made.
Welcome to my biopic. Scored by Johnny Greenwood.
I hope so.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Guff Men. Be sure to check back on, definitely on Tuesday, we'll have our Dark Knight Rises podcast up, and it will be either very exuberant or very depressing to listen to. So, be sure to check back. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the MacGuffin Men. Be sure to check out the MacGuffinMen.com for supplementary links, articles, and more. Thanks for listening.